Let's get to Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, I can remember that Saturday on Hockey Night in Canada not too long ago when we were talking about the Montreal Canadiens and Marc Bergevin had stepped down, and you came into the office and you said, I think it's Kent Hughes. And as we find out today, Elliot, it's Kent Hughes, 18th general manager in the history of the Montreal Canadiens. They just put out a sort of things you need to know about Kent Hughes. Or they want to get the market, you know, acquainted with the now former agent with Cortex. How did all this come together for Hughes and Gorton?
Well, I think that right at the beginning, you know, Hughes and Gorton, they've known each other for a long time. They have a relationship. They trust each other. You know, they've negotiated with each other before. You know, I think that and one thing that you kind of learn is that in these jobs now, there's no question that you want diversity of thought, but you also want some familiarity and people that are kind of know you, know how you work, are on your side, who you can trust. Especially since teams try harder than ever to keep information to themselves. And, you know, I think right from the beginning, Jeff Gorton had made it very clear he wanted Kent Hughes there. And I think right from the beginning, he offered Kent Hughes the possibility of being the GM or part of his group. And Hughes wasn't ready. And they went through their process. But I think the plan always was, and it looks this way now even more, that they were going to go at the end and say, okay, we're about to end this. If you're not going to be part of it, we're going to go somewhere else. Are you going to be part of it? And ultimately, Hughes decided that the answer was yes. And I think they got it done late last night. But it was, you know, these contract negotiations. Hughes does that for a living. So It was a grind to get it done. But I think he was, you know, we talked yesterday about the whole Vancouver and Montreal thing. And I said, I always go back to what I heard at the beginning. And until proven wrong, I generally put a lot of faith in that information. And the information, as you said from the beginning, was look out for Kent Hughes. And he's the number one contender if he wants to be.
Jeff Gorton and Jeffrey Molson got their guy. What do you think, and as I mentioned, Chantal Maccabee, I would imagine, would be behind this, VP of Communications, putting out a things you need to know about Kent Hughes on Twitter and linking to the Montreal Canadiens website. From your point of view, what do you think we need to know for people that may not be familiar with Kent Hughes and that name? They just know him as, oh, he's the agent for Patrice Bergeron. What else do you think people need to know about Kent Hughes?
Well, he played. He played NCAA hockey. You know, a ferocious player, not the most talented player, but really competitive guy. And that went into his dealings in, you know, the agent business. He fought for his clients like a good agent would. You know, I think that I wouldn't be surprised if we hear that, you know, a number of his clients, who, as you mentioned, are French-Canadian, from Bergeron to Letang, you know, said to him, this is an incredible opportunity. You know, he is bilingual. It's going to be interesting to see what the whole reaction is going to be. You know, there's, you know, a couple of my friends who either live in Quebec or they're from Quebec and now live elsewhere. You know, the one of the things they said is that there's kind of two provinces. There's the Montreal and there's everywhere else. And Montreal, there's a lot of English spoken, even though, you know, French is the number one language. But the more you move out of Montreal, you know, the more it is French and people who don't speak as much English. And, you know, I'm of the belief that you hire the best person for the job. But my friends say to me that the ability to communicate is not a small thing. And the pride of the Francophone is not a small thing. And, you know, Montreal is going to have to deal with that. But as far as I'm concerned, if the results follow, then I think everybody will handle it. And I don't think he's afraid of it. I think if he was afraid of it, he wouldn't take it. But I think he's a competitive guy who would love to see the Canadians do well, He's a hard negotiator. It's always interesting when an agent switches side and now negotiates on behalf of teams because they start making the same arguments, Jeff, that they laughed off when they were in the agent seat.
Salary arbitration is always interesting when an agent switches sides, Elliot.
Yes. He's a smart guy. I mean, at the end of the day. Yeah. But you know what it says to me? It says to me what I've always suspected, and I don't understand why other people didn't get on to the – not everybody got onto this right away. Jeff Gorton is making the hockey calls here. I know technically he doesn't have the GM position. He's making the hockey calls here.
What do you think? Okay, so now that the general manager has been installed, and I want to get into a little bit more about, you know, the potential for other hires here and a couple of thoughts on Darshan Briere. What do you think the first order of business is here? So now we have Kent Hughes installed. He's the 18th general manager in the most storied franchise in the history of the NHL. We'll meet him tomorrow, press conference with Gorton and Molson as well. What do you think, you know, some of the first orders of business are here?
I think that number one is rounding out the staff. Look, the Canadians are, this is going to be a huge draft for the Canadians. They are winning in the standings right now, if you want to look at it that way.
By losing to Arizona, they are winning.
You know, it's funny, like, you know, I'm watching the reaction to this game and what a disaster this is for the Canadians. And I don't think they look at it that way. I think they look at it, you know, we talked about it a long time ago, Jeff, about how Montreal's, and people aren't going to like to hear this, but, and I heard it from some of the Canadiens fans, they're, the best thing for them to do was punt on this season and then see where it takes them, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember they played that game in Florida. They only had, what, like 16 players, and people were like, well, how are the Canadiens going to want to play this game? And I was thinking they'll be okay with taking the L. And I know people looked at yesterday like it was a disgrace and, or it's the toilet bowl or whatever people were calling it. But, you know, I think this year the Canadians will take the L and, you know, we'll see what pick they get. But I do think that their amateur decisions are probably the biggest ones they're going to have to make between now and the end of the year, who takes over that department. And we go from there. And then I think rounding out their staff, you know, they already have a really good contract person in John Sedgwick, but who else do they put around Gorton and Hughes in their front office? I think all of those decisions are still going to be coming. And then come the player decisions. You know, there's the obvious ones like Ben Sherratt. And I do think, you know, they're talking to other teams about him, no question about it. And then there's the less obvious decisions, and that's going to include what are some of the longer players here, players with term, players who've been in the Canadiens for a while. How do they feel about all this? Where do they want to go? And, you know, it's just unfortunate about the news that Price basically has to restart his rehab because, you know, we'll see what that means for a season.
You know, one of the things that I was mentioning off the top of the show, Ellie, before you came on, was the finalists here, and most specifically Danny Briere. Inside of 12 months here, you know, Danny Briere has put his name out there. Danny Briere is involved in conversations for big positions, and Daniel Briere is essentially, you know, in the space of a few short months, gone from being a finalist for the assistant general manager position of the Arizona Coyotes. Arizona went with John Ferguson instead of Briere, to being a finalist for one of the most important and stressful jobs in all of hockey. Mm-hmm. And has, you know, put himself in a position where he's thought of highly around the NHL, and teams are interested. And I would imagine his own team as well, more so now than ever. It's always interesting when someone wants you from another organization, your value to your organization grows. How valuable do you think Daniel Briere is right now to the Philadelphia Flyers?
I think we're going to get an answer to that before the end of the season. I do. I think at some point in time, the Flyers are going to have to come out and say, okay, this is what our plan is and this is where we're going. And I think that part of that will be, okay, what's Briere's role going to be in this? You know, I had a long conversation with someone last night as it looked like Hughes was going to take over the job. And they said that, you know, do not underestimate, and we talked about this briefly yesterday, the fact that Comcast owns the ECHL team, where yep. Briere has worked and how they feel about him. And, you know, I think the other thing, too, is that I've had a couple of people tell me that the working relationship between Briere and Comcast is very good. Like, at times, he's gone to Comcast and said, can we do something like this? And generally, they find ways to get things done there together in Maine. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think the other thing, too, is, you know, Jeff, it's kind of unfair. It happens like this in life sometimes, but it does. Sometimes when someone's been employed at a certain place for time, you almost need someone else to have interest in them for you to realize how valuable they are. I see that in broadcasting all the time, where, you know, I'll work with someone and I'll think that person's really valuable, and, you know, your company doesn't either doesn't see the value or pretends not to see the value until they go somewhere else, right? And I take a look at this Briere thing with Montreal, and I wonder if that's going to push Philly into some kind of decision with him.
All right, more on the Montreal situation with Eric Engels here coming up at the bottom of the hour. Meanwhile, a couple of other things, and, you know, we had discussed a couple of different times, keep your eyes on, you know, the middle of January for updates on the schedule and what it's going to look like and if they'll need to extend runway, not unlike what the American Hockey League has done with their season and their schedule. What's the very latest on schedule updates for the league, Elliot?
I think that we're going to hear something as soon as tomorrow. Someone said to me tomorrow, someone else said to me could be Thursday. But by now, most of the teams, if not everybody, I guess, if we're going to see it tomorrow or Thursday, I guess everyone's seen their schedule. So, you know, I heard there were some teams that got it first before others. Now, I'm guessing everyone's seen it, though I haven't checked with all 32 teams. But I've heard we could see something Wednesday or Thursday. I've heard there are some teams that during the Olympic break may only be playing, you know, four times. That was one team. The lowest I've heard so far is four. I mean, there could be someone lower, but that's the lowest one I've heard. And other teams, and you can pick them, they're going to be very busy. Toronto's going to be busy. Ottawa's going to be busy. Calgary's going to be busy. You know, those teams are going to be really busy. And I think I've said this to you before, but the All-Star game is at noon Eastern, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on Saturday. I think there's going to be teams playing on Monday.
Yeah, I believe that. Will there be any teams that have any type of break?
Well, if you're only going to be playing four times, and like I said, I've heard of one team that might be playing four times, you're going to get some days off. The question is whether or not that's worth a trip to Cabo or something like that.
I'm sure the guys will try to squeeze
Jeff, can you and the rest of the Americans squeeze in Cabo over 4 or 6 days?
I'm not leaving. I'm scared to leave. You know how much snow's out there right now? I'm staying inside. Screw it. I just spent 4.5 hours shoveling yesterday. Cabo's a wild fantasy.
You got to tweet out pictures of yourself shoveling. If I had to, you have to.
It was
3.5 for me. That was a lot. Yeah, that was a lot of shoveling.
A lot of it for me was the rink. Was getting all the snow off of the rink, man, and then flooding it this morning. That was a chore.
Somebody tell Sid 602 I wasn't looking for photo ops. I don't want him screaming about me all over the internet today.
No, you and the Premier cut from the same cloth. We all know it. We all know it. The NHL no longer testing asymptomatic players after the All-Star game. I don't think this comes as a surprise, should it?
The only reason I would say no, actually, I would agree with you. I don't think it comes as a surprise at all. The NFL, I was looking at it. The NFL was December 19th. Yeah. They agreed to do that. The NBA sent out new protocols this week that basically depends on whether you're unvaccinated, vaccinated, eligible for the booster, or not eligible for the booster. But it didn't completely go in that direction, but it moved in that direction. You know, the only reason I would say that I have ever any questions about hockey is how much Canada is involved here and crossing the border. But basically, and the other thing too is I did get a little bit of clarity on the taxi squads because Ryan Pike, our faithful tweeter and listener and writer, who explains to us all the difficult stuff, he had asked what happens with the taxi squads. And basically, right now, the taxi squads end at the All-Star break. And at this point, there's no agreement to extend them, although they always could. I wonder if, since they're going to drop asymptomatic testing, that the agreement will be made not to keep them. We'll see. That there's still some wiggle room there, but it's basically at this point in time, there's no agreement to extend the taxi squads after the All-Star break. The question here is going to be the border and just the rules, and they're going to test when teams go over, it looks like.
Want to get a thought from you on what we're going to see in Boston tonight. Two things. We're going to see the Boston Bruins face off against the Carolina Hurricanes. That's going to be a really good game. This one on Sportsnet East and Sportsnet Ontario, but at 7 o'clock Eastern, the Boston Bruins will rightly retire the jersey of Willie O'Ree. Number 22 goes to the rafters, who we all know is the first black player in the history of the NHL. A couple of things. One, do you have a thought on Willie O'Ree, or as Anthony Stewart always refers to him, as Mr. O'Ree? And, you know, the one thing that I've noticed over the past, and for the longest time, the NHL, for whatever reason, always resisted these types of acknowledgments, and I don't know why, but it seems as if in the last, I don't know, year, 18 months, you know, they're starting to accept, you know, the color barrier being broken by Larry Kwong, talking about people, you know, not just the Sakamoose, but also talking about Buddy Miracle as well. There seems to be a much more of an embracing of people of color who have broken various barriers in their past. So I guess a twofold question. One, the NHL finally having a more honest look at their own history, and also a thought on Willie O'Ree, who is just such a gem in the game to this day. And the thing that always impresses me about O'Ree is he has had in his career and life, Elliot, every single reason to complain, and no one's ever heard him do it. Remarkable.
Well, I think of the, you know, basically on some of the things that people you talked about, like Normie Kwan, I just think that, you know, there's no more tolerance of ignoring it or not talking about it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's like basically people don't stand for it anymore. So even if you wanted to hide it, you couldn't, because in social media, people make sure we're all aware of it. And people want to learn more about it, and people expect recognition for it. So it's like, whether you're in hockey or anywhere else, you know, you better be willing to acknowledge it, because people demand no less. You know, just as for, you know, Willie O'Ree, you know, first of all, it's just unfortunate because of the times he can't be in Boston tonight. I wanted to shout out the Carnegie Initiative, which is doing an event today in conjunction with Willie O'Ree's jersey retirement. So I thought that was important to mention. You know, a couple years ago, he was honored at the NHL Awards, and I was, you know, fortunate enough to be there, and just the opportunity to talk to him. He's, you know, he's the thing about him that I really admire, it kind of goes with what you talked about there, is just how understated he is. He, you know, he's still in great shape. He still cuts a pretty imposing figure in terms of the way he carries himself and the way he looks. But, you know, there's even though he has a presence, he's not one of those people who overwhelms you with it. He kind of just embraces you as part of him when you're in a group with him and you're talking about him. And he tells good stories. You know, there were a couple he was telling about his playing days and some of the battles he had, and, you know, he's got a good sense of humor, a pretty sharp wit. It was, you know, the one extended time I really had a chance to spend around with him, I really enjoyed it. I remember I had to go do whatever award I was doing that night, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm enjoying this a little bit better. Unfortunately, I have to leave and go. I would have rather stayed there and continued to listen.
You know, and remarkable as a player too, you know, almost completely blind in his right eye and never told anybody.
Yeah.
For the entire career, just went about his business.
Yeah. Just went about his business.
Remarkable man, absolutely. Okay, we'll end it on that. Great stuff, Friege, and now we'll wait to see what happens with Vancouver, whom we believe will be next on the list to announce their manager. Oh, by the way, one more follow up on Montreal. Any idea about any subsequent hires, or that just still continue?
I don't have anything yet today. You know, he's meeting with the media probably tomorrow afternoon, and I'm sure we'll get some idea of then. But in terms of subsequent hires, I don't have anything yet.
Okay, we'll stay tuned for that. And if that press conference is during the show, we will air it in its entirety.